Saul Israel was predeceased by his parents and by his sister Ray Barron. He's survived by his wife Virginia Israel, his sister Sarah Rohr and Emily Gilman, children Susan Israel, Jack Israel and daughter-in-law Hannah Israel, Judy Elton and son-in-law Rabbi Josh Elton from Boston. Saul was blessed with 5 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. But a series of speakers from the family that pay tribute to Saul, we're going to begin with grandson Jonathan Elton.
Summer dress carried a natural heel. He boarded an airplane. He traveled to Seattle where he had an airborne press conference. Where he got to have his status in the research department group. So he spent evenings in a 6 layout bag. With Davidson and Blackberry from Aloha to the park. Island Fish even flew in markets. It was a place where we had our grandparents. And the only grandfather we had a chance to meet. When I was younger, Grandpa was larger than life. Contributing to this was the fact that he was 6 feet tall when none of my parents or other grandparents built 5'4". But really, Grandpa seemed to know how to take care of anybody. And that was something he always took pride in. Whether it was ensuring that we always had red vines and maple bark on visits and enough food to eat at dinner, that Grandma always had that one last thing from the store that she needed, or that my mom and dad never missed a check on our visit, Grandpa made sure that everyone was okay. He was always a caretaker. Those summers were also defined by Grandpa's endless jokes. I remember dozens of times that we used to go to the JCC to swim, and Grandpa would tell us, "You can have fun, but don't get wet." And he would pause, looking at us, waiting for the hit, but that would be impossible. Right as we began to negotiate with him, "But Grandpa, how can you have fun at the pool if you can't get wet?" He would start to take his infinite silent laugh, shoulders bouncing up and down, as he playfully pinched us in our sides. Grandpa, I think my first impression of baseball games as a kid, and joked about how we used to play for both the Harlem Globetrotters and the New York Yankees. Grandpa was pulling us every summer with candy and donuts, walks the now purple dragon across down the street. Endless afternoons playing in a straight corner in the backyard and in pure clothes after dinner. But as I got older, I didn't fall for his jokes anymore. And I started to prefer healthy food over candy. Although I did indulge in some maple bars when I was out and visited because I knew how happy he made them. The invisibility that I attributed to him as a kid was replaced with all the characteristics that really made him the great man that he was. So all that I felt that all the things he gave us and the places he took us was joined by the immense amount of respect and gratitude that I felt for how Grandpa lived his life. Grandpa loved people. Last August, when Ben and I were visiting, Grandpa was already sick. He lacked energy and didn't have much of an appetite, but he never let that off to us. As we walked through Pike's Place Market with him, he told us all about the guys who owned the various fish shops that we had in the building downtown. He remembered what they used to be years ago and who owned them then. It was clear that Grandpa was a part of the fabric of the city and the people who created it. You also never knew who you were going to meet with Grandpa. At restaurants, on walks, downtown, Grandpa would only stop to talk to people. He would joke around with children he passed and connect with adults he saw along the way. In watching him move through the world, I saw a piece of his country's history and culture that preceded me. One of more trust, interconnection, and grander acts of kindness. Grandpa held on to these values, and they informed the way he lived. When we encounter poor customer service or treatment, we always say, "Grandpa would never let that happen." Grandpa also believed in fairness and service. Without going too much into his political views, Grandpa believed that people had a basic responsibility to other people. That one circumstances were, in many ways, arbitrary, and everyone, be it through taxes or service work, has an obligation to contribute to the well-being of society. I was inspired by this conviction and loved hearing him speak with pride about his days in the service. I'll never forget last winter when Grandpa broke down and told the story of coming back to Seattle after spending a brief amount of time at a military base in California during the Korean War. He told us how he and another newly married soldier were discharged from reserve duty and were eager to return home to their new bride. As such, they drove straight through from California to Seattle, stopping only to get a bite to eat and some coffee. As he started to cry, Grandpa told us how he never paid for any of his meals or cup of coffee because people in those days would never let a soldier in uniform pay for anything. That was the kind of thing Grandpa loved most. Service, community, and people taking care of each other. I'm sure everyone here knows that my grandpa had a huge sweet tooth. And the way he expressed that sweet tooth, eating chocolate nearly every day and sharing it with people he met, represented some of his most basic views on life. Be generous with others and enjoy the life you have. My sister Liza tells how last May she came up to Seattle on her own for a visit. Grandpa went to bed before she did, and when she finally decided to go to sleep, waiting by the door of her room was a Snickers bar from Grandpa. Simply because life should be enjoyed. This treatment and gesture wasn't reserved for family members only. When Girl Scouts came to the house to sell cookies, Grandpa would always buy some, and in addition to the money, he would hand each girl a candy bar. As though chocolate symbolizes good in life, Grandpa always wanted to generously share such thoughts with everyone he met. Grandpa was a family man. It always felt good to see him at the head of the table with all of us, his kids and grandkids, sitting around it. And watching him in an utter quiet and almost to himself, we're all here, his people. He supported us with everything we did. And had such high hopes for our futures. I'm going to miss that grounding feeling and unequivocal encouragement that I always felt as we speak with him. We were always Seattle weasel for the Seder, during which we all had the opportunity to say goodbye to Grandpa. I walked into his base bedroom, the same room that we all used to fall into on all those summer mornings, just to jump on Grandpa's bed to wake him up. And I started to share some of these memories with him. When I finished saying my piece, he told me that he would always be there for us, even after he'd gone. Such things tend to sound cliche. But coming from Grandpa, lying there after 86 years of life, filled with family, love for people, and service to others, I knew that he would be this. I was so proud of being with Grandpa. And I want to convey how grateful I feel to have lived for 26 years with a grandfather who showered his love, never missed an opportunity for a joke, and navigated the world with a level of humanism, humility, warmth, and deep regard for others to which I aspire. Thank you.